Parshas Amor, the Torah writes the din that the Kohanim are prohibited from being mitamei lemeisim. Is this just to be taken as a mashal? Tumas HaMeis is one example of Tumah. The Kohanim are forbidden to be mitamei to all forms of Tumah, or is it to be taken literally? So the Pashtus in the Gemara certainly is that it's only to be taken literally. That Shar Tumas, the Kohen, would be permitted to be mitamei. Let's say there's a dead mouse in the house. So would you say the Kohen is not allowed to handle a dead mouse? He's not allowed to mitamei to the Shemayna Shuatzim? Let's say Nevela, when you go to the A&P, so they sell non-kosher meat. So that's Nevela. So Nevela is mitamei b'mago b'masa. So the Kohen is not allowed to pick it up. That's mitamei b'mago b'masa. So the Pashav Shatting Marzah is certainly permissible. This just has 2 days, in the beginning of Sudas and in other places, where the Kohen is permitted or forbidden to be mitamei to a tumas mei shein anozim megalei chaleha. That's within tumas mei. There are categories of tumah which is in the area of tumas mei, but it's not considered atmoshal mei. It's not really actually coming in contact with the mei himself. So that's a machloikis. That's, for example, gerlel v'doifek, the matzeiver, acher of areka cholol, so of tumalotes, forms of tumas mei, which are not considered atmoshal mei. So that's a machloikis in tastes. And we paskin that's also mutter. Mikra adin, we paskin that's mutter. We're just machmen by Sof Tumalotis, the Ramah quotes, because that was a minute. We always used to be machmen like that. The Mikir Adin, we really passed that all of that is mutter. The Kolshken Shar Tumas, Tumas Sheretz, and Tumas Nevela, certainly a coin is not muzer. Somebody once asked Rav Soloveitchik about that, that there's a Chuvas HaGoinim where they write that a coin is forbidden to be mitame even to a Sheretz. What do you do with the Chuvas HaGoinim? He said, we don't accept it. It's wrong. It's against the Gemara. The din is that it's certainly permissible. Somebody called me up last year. That he's the principal of a high school and they dissect rats, frogs, whatever, I don't know. Frogs. Is it Tzvadeh Metame? I don't know. Mor says Tzvadeh is not Metame. But let's say if they handle one of the Shmoyna Shotzim, is a coin forbidden to be Metame? So the Pashtus says that it's certainly permissible. We don't pass them like those going. The Gemara has a comment on the opening pasuk. Emoral bnei Aharon v'yamato aleim. Why does it say twice? Emoral akonim bnei Aharon v'yamato aleim. So Rashi quotes from the Gemara in Yeromis. Hema v'yamato lahazik doyla malaktanim. What does that mean? So the Gemara says there in Yeromis, in the beginning of Perek Cheresh, it's one of the later prokim in Yeromis, that this is one of the three places in the Chumash where the Torah says that you're not permitted lispos of the adayim. Lispos of the adayim means to feed a child non-kosher food. Here, not talking about feeding, let's say I have a kohen katan who's before bar mitzvah, so I'm not permitted to, let's say the mother is going to a funeral and she doesn't have a babysitter, so she wants to bring her baby boy who is a kohen to the funeral as well. So the Gemara learns out from the pasuk that that's an issa deraisa. The tamei as ha kohen ha katan bi adayim, that's an issa deraisa. It's supposed to be adayim. The Gemara says I have 3 psukim, and from these 3 psukim I have a shricha say why I need all the 3 psukim. If I would have only had 1, I would have said maybe it's only here, not over there. Maybe if I would have had 2, would have been mechaz. Now that I have all the 3 psukim, so the Gemara says we derive from this amamatzino, binyan av to call it tarkula, that the zidin also was supposed to be adan. If you're not permitted to feed a little child even before bar mitzvah, kodim shehigir lachinah. We're not talking lachar shehigir lachinah. Kodim shehigir lachinah, this is an isa deraisa. Chinuch is only a din derabbanon. Chinuch is only with the rabbanim, but the din also was supposed to be a diamond. And he said, "There is even by a cotton shalai here the chinuch." And we assume in the Gemara, Pash Pshatim Gemara, that it's a din there is of a chalat terukula. What about by Isurim the rabbanon? Would it be also was supposed to be a diamond? Let's say I have some food. Let's say they sell a bishulakum or something. They have baby jars, baby food, some kind of a food which is mutam and atayra in asam of the rabbanon. Am I permitted to buy that and feed it to the baby? Shalohi gir lachinuch. The baby's a little baby. He can't even explain to the child. Kosher, non-kosher, doesn't understand what it is. Bechlal. Is there an isur that's supposed to be a dime? Cholavakim. Gvinasakim. Let's say cholavakim. Many people are noyek lahokalan. Let's say gvinasakim. Gvinasakim is a din. It's really awesome. Am I forbidden to feed gvinasakim to a child before bar mitzvah who doesn't even understand bechlal what it is? He won't know the difference between the kosher cheese and the non-kosher cheese. The non-kosher cheese only awesome at the Rabbana. It's not an Issa deraisa. So that's a machloikis, the Rambam and all the other Rishonim. The Rambam writes that the din of osel is supposed to be a dayim not only applies to Yisurim deraisa, even applies to Yisurim derabbanan. The other Rishonim disagree with the Rambam, the Rashbu, and all the others in Perek Cheresh disagree. And this is quoted in Shulchan Aruch and Siman Shin Mem Gimel and Hilchos Shabbos. Middle of Hilchos Shabbos is one siman about Chinuch Haktanim. So the Mishnah Berurah, the Mechaber with the Mishnah Berurah talking about this machlek is the Rambam and the Rashbu and all the other Rishonim. Even if one should assume that by Yisurim de Rabbanon also, like the Rambam, even if one should assume that even by Nisa de Rabbanon, there's Halacha that it's also supposed to be Adayim. But Avad Yosef writes in the Tshuva that's only, I think he has a prima godim to that effect, I think he says that's only where it's at least an Issa de Rabbanon. What if it's not even an Issa de Rabbanon? What if it's only an Issa mitam minig? But then he thinks that then there wouldn't even be a din of Asa was possibly a din. So say for example, let's say you have little children in a nursery. Someone asked the Shana, you have a school for Jewish children and you want to know, can you play music during Sfira? So why don't we listen to music in Sfira? It's not an Issa de Raisa, and it's not an Issa de Rabbanon, it's only a minig. So if the child is lohi gilachin, the kid is so young, doesn't understand mechlal what Sfira is all about, you can't explain it to him. But then the pashtus is that there shouldn't be such a prohibition, there shouldn't be any Issa of Asa that's supposed to be Adayim. But it says in Shulchan Aruch and Hilchos Tisha B'Av, and the Mechaber writes, Asa l'gdoilim l'sapa l'ktanim, that the adults are forbidden to give a haircut to the children, and could even be, one could perhaps understand that this is even by a cotton shaloi gelachinoch. The question when he's talking about loi gelachinoch, he could perhaps say that it's even loi gelachinoch, you're not allowed to give the child a haircut. Yeah, that's in the Shavuot Shachalba Tisha B'Av, and the prohibition to take a haircut is a real Issa that's mentioned in the Mishnah. It's an Issa de Rabbanan. But let's say during the 3 weeks, that during the early few days and the 9 days before the Shavuot Shachalba Tisha B'Av, with the prohibition to take a haircut, there's only mitam minik, so then I think some achrenim say befeirish that it's mutar l'saper l'ktanim. Also l'gdanim l'saper l'ktanim. If the child is a gil l'chinos, of course, he's a gil l'chinos. He has to be mechanech the child for minhagim as well. Not only is there a din of chinoch and dinim derais and dinim derabbanon, there's a din of chinoch and minhagim as well. There's a gemara like that. The gemara in Gittin says that the apotropis in Perek HaNezachim, the apotropis is permitted and obligated to spend the money of the yisaimim in order to buy tzitzis and tefillin and all the things that he needs, and one of the things that he needs is not only the dalad minim, it says that he needs hashinus. So the pasha pshat is that he doesn't need hashinus for the dalad minim, he needs hashinus for Hashana Rabbah. The Gemara says that the hashinus and Hashana Rabbah is only a minig nevin. So it's not a din de Rabbanon, it's only a minig. So the pasha says that there is a din of chinuch, by a katan shegev a chinuch, there is a din of chinuch, even on minhagim. The question is, there's no chinuch on avelus. There's a machlekes in going, whether there's a din of chinuch and avelos or not, and we are noeig in Shulchan Aruch, we pass them that there's no din of chinuch and avelos. So that's what some achrenim say, there's no chinuch and avelos, that's only avelos the yochid. Let's say when a relative dies, so the children before bar mitzvah, nikra din, don't have to observe any avelos at all. They can go to yeshiva and learn. If they're not heartbroken over the death of their relatives, so if they want to, they can go to yeshiva and learn. But what if it's Avelus de Rabbim? So that's what the Magen Avraham suggests, that since it's not Avelus or Yochid, it's Avelus of Kali, so maybe then there is a din of Chinuch, even on Ektanim. But in Shulchan Aruch, it talks not about Chinuch. It says, also the Gedolim L'Sapel Ektanim. It says, in the Shavuot Shachal B'Tisha B'Av, the parents are not permitted to give a haircut to the little children, even though he gave a Chinuch, because it also was supposed to be Adayim. That's because that's an Issa de Rabbanon. Following the Mechabes, following the Rambam's opinion, that also was supposed to be a dime even applies to Yisurim de Rabbanon, does not only apply to Yisurim de Raisa. And in the Shavuot Shachal by Tisha B'Av, it's an Issa de Rabbanon to take a haircut. But if it's before the Shavuot Shachal by Tisha B'Av, it's only a minig, so the Ra Rachmanim say that there's no din of also was supposed to be a dime.
What about you? Also,
the Pashto says that eating within 6 hours is only a minig. Eating within 1 hour, 1 hour after meat, to have milk, so that some poskim hold that that's already an Issa de Rabbanon. That's an Issa de Rabbanon. In the Gemara it doesn't appear, but in the Zohar it appears like that. The Gemara just says that the child said, contrasting himself with his father, that his father was a holier tzaddik than he was. The father used to wait 24 hours to eat the milchiks, and he only waits from one meal to the other. Why taka didn't he wait 24 hours? It wasn't on that madrega. Person shouldn't chap on all the midas chassidus if he knows that it's not on that madrega, so he shouldn't. Just not everybody is cut out to pick to observe every chumrah. So the son, one of the Amoraim, commented that in contrast to his father, he's chala bar chamra. He's like vinegar in comparison to wine. His father was wine, and he's wine that became sour, that turned into vinegar. The father used to wait 24 hours. That's the more sweet, the more pleasant minig, and he only waits 6 hours, whatever. So the Gemara talks about minhagim, but the Zohar talks about a real din. The Zohar, quoted in the Shulchan Aruch, says you're not allowed to eat milk after having had meat within 1 hour, b'shaita chodah. So some Achrayim say that there's a difference. The Kafah Chaim and others want to say like that, that to have milchiks within an hour after fleishiks, that's kafanisa d'rabbanan. So that you'll say takosah was supposed to be a dak. You shouldn't give even a little child shalehike lechinoch. Milchiks within an hour after flesh, unless it's necessary for the good health of the child. So then there's no din of us that's supposed to be done. We feed little children on Yom Kippur. So Minhas Chinuch asks, how are we permitted to feed the children on Yom Kippur unless the child has a suffix hakana? Aren't we in violation of the din of us that's supposed to be adayin? You're not allowed to feed a child even though he gave a chinuch. You should wait till the child becomes a suffix hakana. Well, when you'll have children, you should wait till the child is the suffix hakana, and then to feed him on Yom Kippur. You shouldn't feed the children just like this. It's a violation of an Issa Deraita. That's the Minhas Chinuch says like that. So this issue that Minhas Chinuch raises about feeding little children on Yom Kippur is already raised by the Balei HaTesis. But we don't have in the Tesis the Rabbi Natan, and the Sefer Yosher talks about that. So he quotes that there were those who had such a practice. He describes this practice of the Minhas Chinuch, and then the Rabbi Natan says that it's not correct. And he says, based on the Gemara, that whatever is necessary for the good health of the child, you don't need a heter pikuach nefesh, a suffix pikuach nefesh to be matter the yisur of also the supposed to be done. Whatever is necessary for the normal raising of a child, good health of the child. So there's no din of also the supposed to be done. So if it's really necessary to give the baby cotton shaloh yagir l'chinuch, if it's necessary to give the child milk right after the meat, even within an hour, okay? But then the Rabbi in time says that it's mutter, if it's necessary for health purposes. But if it's not necessarily so important, then taka you shouldn't. That's an isa derabbanan, and also it's supposed to be a dime. Even by cotton again, even by cotton shaloi higielachin. We're talking about a cotton shaloi higielachin. There is a question. Let's say Rahman al-Islam, someone has a retarded child. Do you have this din of also it's supposed to be a dime even by retarded children as well? Or perhaps one should say no, that even though the child is lo higielachinoch now, yet, he's not yet higielachinoch, but ultimately he will become a bar chiyuv. He will become a bar chiyuva. He will become higielachinoch. He will become a bar chiyuva. So maybe there's a din deraisa that even cotton shalo higielachinoch, there's a little bit of chinoch already involved now, shalo is supposed to be adayin. But if the child has no shaychus, it doesn't look medically that this child is ever going to be mochayiv in the mitzvahs at all, so maybe then there's no din of also that's supposed to be adayin. So this is a diun. This is a shaila that was discussed by the Chasam Sofer and the Tshuva. Chasam Sofer talks about is it necessary for the Jewish community to have kosher facilities for retarded children. He talks about parents who wanted to send their child to a home for the retarded that was sponsored by the government. He lived in Hungary. There was no kosher home for the retarded. So he great stuff he talks about. He says that it's not called as supposed to be a dime. He says when you send the child to a government facility, to a hospital, he says it's supposed to be a dime means when you put the spoon in the baby's mouth. But when you send the child to a hospital and they're going to feed the child there, that's not called as supposed to be a dime. That's what Ramosha writes also. Ramosha quotes the Chasam Sofer and he goes along. And others disagree in a big way. They say that it's not correct. That's called also as supposed to be a dime. To send the child to a place where they're going to feed the child. You know, they're not for sure. They're not going to give kosher food. So others disagree. The Karenor and others disagree. They say that that's also called as supposed to be a dime. The only shaila is there a prohibition? Does the din of also as supposed to be a dime apply if the child is never going to become a bar chiyuva? Maybe the whole din doesn't apply. So that's a tshuva in the Shivas Tzion. The Rabbi Yehuda's son has a sefer that's called Shivas Tzion. Now they print it and they call it Rabbi Yehuda Chelek Shlishi. Because the Rabbi Yehuda's son edited the tshuvas of the Rabbi Yehuda of his father also. He's the editor. And every so often in the tshuvas of the Rabbi Yehuda, you have every 25 tshuvas or every 35 tshuvas, you have a tshuva written by the son there in the first two volumes also of the Rabbi Yehuda. That's why the print is called the third volume, the Rabbi Yehuda Chelek Shlish. So in the tshuva Shiva Sion, he points out that there seems to be a machloikis about this. He quotes the Sefer Issa V'Hetzer by the Rabbeinu Yoina, has a lashon that has a mashmois in it. He sounds like he says that the din of osel is supposed to be a dime that we learn from Emma V'Yamarta, l'hazigdol malaktanim, has to do with chinuch. even though the child is lohigil achinach, but lohigil achinach means you're not mechiv to be mechanech the child. But we're supposed to be a dayan, that amount of chinach there is, and this aspect of chinach is derais. Usually chinach is only derabbanan, here it's derais, even by kotan shalohigil achinach, because you're going to be safina lebi adayim, that's what's not allowed. And then the Shivastian quotes a Rashba who disagrees. He quotes a Rashba in the middle of Gittin. There's a long in Perek HaNizokin, there's a long paragraph in the Rashba talks about something else. In the middle of the Rashba there's one line that's unrelated to what comes before and after, where he says, and that's a double pashut, that the prohibition of also was supposed to be a dayin even applies to a cherish and a shaita. He writes a double pashut like that. So that's what the Shiva Tzion says. If you have a machlokes between the Rashba, whom we know who the Rashba was, and the Yisur HaHeter, we're not so sure who wrote the Yisur HaHeter. It says on the first page it was written by the Rabbeinu Yoni Girandi. Rabbeinu Yoni Girandi was a Rishon, the one who wrote the Shari Tshuva, the Tamir Rabbeinu Yoni. But they all say that it's a different Rabbeinu Yoni, somebody else, not the famous Rabbeinu Yoni. It's an Achron Rabbeinu Yoni, somebody else. So they always quote the Yisur HaHeter, but there are a lot of questionable passages in the Yisur HaHeter. So if you have a machlokes between the Rashba, the Chiddush in Megitin, Perek HaNizokin, and Rashba, we know who he is, and Rabbeinu Yonah, we're not so sure who this Rabbeinu Yonah is. So the Shiva Tzion says we probably should pass in Allah, like the Rashba, that the Din of Asa was supposed to be a dime even applies to a Chemish and a Shaita.
How much
retarded does the person have to be? Yeah, Rabbi Tendler always says that his students are retarded, the president of a shul is retarded. Yeah, this question. What's the degree of retarded? What's the degree of retarded? Yeah. If a person is slightly retarded, but he has the seichel of an average 13-year-old, so that's called a bar das. But if a person, let's say, is severely retarded, and he doesn't have the seichel, he doesn't know 1 and 1 is 2, 2 and 2 is 4, he doesn't know simple things that a child of 12 or 13 would know. So that's called retard. They have ways of determining. Retarded, a person who is 60 years old has the seichel of a 5-year-old. That's called retard.
What is the difference?
Dine avelus. No, there's a din of avelus even for a 6-year-old. Even for a baby, there's a din of avelus. Yeah. If a person dies, there's a din of avelus. That's not right. No. That's Shalol is supposed to be Adayim. But by Shabbos, it's an additional prohibition. Not only is it a din that it's also supposed to be Adayim, it's a pasuk in the Aseret HaDibur that says, "Vasas kam lach adu ato avincho b'techo abdecho v'amoscho hemtecho." So Rashi and Chumash, and that pasuk in Parshas Yisro, says, "Who is this vincho b'techo? If the child is bar mitzvah, so then he's included in ato." The Torah speaks to all of us who are bar mitzvah, and it says, "Ato, you." So vincho b'techo obviously is someone whom the Torah is not speaking to, the children who are not bar mitzvah. So that's a separate isa deraisa. Not to encourage your children, not to have the children do Chilul Shabbos on your behalf. What do you need this Yisur for? If I already have the din of Asur, it's supposed to be Adayim. What do I need an additional Pasuk for? So that's what the Yisur of Chaim Soloveitchik. So he said this additional Pasuk indicates that it's a Shabbosic prohibition. This Pasuk, Shalom, is supposed to be Adayim, is a general prohibition. So if I encourage the child, if I feed the child non-kosher food, if I take the little Koyin, the little boy before Bar Mitzvah, I take him to a cemetery, to a funeral, or if I encourage the child to carry something on Shabbos, to do a malacha, to turn on a light or something like that, so that would only be a general issa. But now that it's a particular pasuk and aseres hadibur in connection with Shabbos, so if you will encourage your child to do that, you will be a mechal Shabbos. If you'll do it b'fas, you'll be mechal Shabbos b'fas yedina ka'akum. If it were just based on this general pasuk, if he would violate this in the area of Hilchos Shabbos, it wouldn't be called the Mechal Shabbos but for Hesed Dina Kach. But now that it's written Aseres HaDibrois, so you're not allowed to. But they once asked Rab Chaim about that. Rab Chaim once, they tell the story, Rab Chaim once walked into shul in Warsaw. He walked into shul on Shabbos and he davened without a talis. So a lot of people recognized who he was. So yes, and how come he didn't have a talis? They said, I didn't have a talis there. So he said, why did he carry the talis? Didn't hold from the air. So why don't you ask a child to carry the talis? You're not allowed to ask a child to carry a talis. He said, yes, then why not? He said, that's Aseret HaDibur. Mishkanet Yankiv points out that Rashi and Aseret Hadibur, he says, why do you need the two psukim? Chal Shabbos Dina Ka'akum. So he asked him, so how did he make Kiddush last night? He knows that in Warsaw everybody asked the children to carry the talis. So Chal Shabbos Dina Ka'akum, so all the wine that they had manufactured, all the wine that they bought for him, was tricked. So he said, it's b'shegig. They didn't know. Chal Shabbos b'fahesi Dina Ka'akum means that Chal Shabbos b'shegig. But if Chal Shabbos b'mezi to b'fahesi, but if it's b'shegig, that people don't even know that it's forbidden, so then the din doesn't apply. You feed the child, that's what he said.
You feed the child after a while, you can't grow up. So that's it, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So we're okay.
According to the Chassam Sefer, it could be it's okay. But that's a very difficult Chassam Sefer. The Pashtus is that it's not so. Pashtus is that whenever you lead the child into doing it, whenever the child doesn't do it on his own, you lead the child into doing something that's forbidden. That's called the supposed to be a dad. As far as feeding children, in Shulchan Aruch they have something like that. That Moshe Rabbeinu didn't want to nurse from the non-Jewish mothers because they had eaten non-kosher food, and even though the milk that comes out from a woman who eats kosher eats non-kosher, the milk is mutam in either case, but still. Still, the Ramah and Shulchan Aruch quotes from the Rishonim based on the Medrash like that, that the non-kosher food that they ate contributed to the formulation, to the forming of the milk. So that's metamta misalei. So it's better to avoid that. It's a new consideration, an additional consideration. But strictly al pi halacha, you don't find a difference. The Ramah quotes it based on the Medrash. Ramah and Yerideya quotes it based on the Medrash. The kohen is not permitted to mimetame to mesim except for the zayin kroivim, and the kohen gadol is not even permitted to mimetame even to the zayin kroivim. The pasuk writes later on the din of the kohen gadol. It's not even permitted to mimetame to the zayin kroivim. What is this all based on? That the kohen and the Rambam passing the Mar has a machlokes hatanaim that the kohen is permitted to mimetame to the zayin kroivim. Is that a reshus or is that a choivim? So the Gemara says that we pass like Rabbi Akiva that it's a choiva. The kohen is obligated to be mitame to the zayin kroivim. What is the basis of this mitzvah? Lo yitame choiva. Why is the kohen mechuyav to be mitame? So the Rambam writes in Hilchos Ovel, kama chamurehi mitzvah to avelus. Look how important the mitzvah of avelus is, that the kohen is permitted and obligated to be mitame to the zayin kroivim in order to demonstrate an act of avelus. So the Rambam understands that the nature of this mitzvah sesei, we pass that it is a mitzvah sesei, lo yitam, it's not just optional, if you want to, you may. The kohen is obligated to be mitami to the zayin kroivim, that the nature of this mitzvah is the mitzvah of avelus. That's a simple reading of the Gemara, the third parak in Maikot. The Gemara quotes a braisa from the Tanoim, where it says, kol shahakoyin, how does the lotion go? Kol shahakoyin mitami lo, Misabli Molo. All those relatives mentioned in the Chumash that the Kohen is Metame to them, is Mechuv to me Metame. So, in all cases, even if it's not a Kohen or a Levi, someone dies, so those seven relatives are obligated to observe Avelis. Then it says, Asif Aleim, the Tanaim added on additional relatives. Then it says, in later generations, Asif Aleim, more relatives, they added on more. But the Pashtus and the Brice clearly is like that, that this listing of the seven relatives in the Chumash that the Kohen is Mechuv to me Metame is based on the din of Avelus. That's what led a group of Rishonim and Goinim to believe that Avelus, there is an Indian of Avelus there, right? That's a big machlekes in Shulchan Aruch, the last simon in Yerideya. There's machlekes in Mechaber and the Ramah. Mechaber quotes the Shitas HaGoinim Harif or HaRamam that Avelus Yom Rishon is a chiyuv there, right? There is an institution of Avelus there, right? Some aspects of Avelus are there, right? And the Ramah says that we pass from like the Bali Ateses that have a right from Agimara, from a few Gemaras that all of Avelis is only with the Rabbanan, there's no Avelis there, I see even Avelis Yom Rishon. But again, the simple reading of the Gemara is like the Rambam and the Goyim. Even though we don't, the Ramah does not pass like that, but the Pash of Shat and the Gemara seems to say like that. That the Avelis is their Isa based on this Pash to cover the Tumas Zankro. So if Avelis is their Isa based on the Tumas Kroivim, so how come the Kohen Gadol is not Metami to the Zayin Kroivim? So this is what leads the Gemara to declare that a Kohen Gadol does not observe Avelis. The Gemara says in Maikot, in the third parak in Maikot, that the Kohen Gadol does not observe Avelis, just like Yisrael Baregel Just like all the Jews on Shalosh Regalim on Yamim Tovim, the Mishnah says you don't observe any Avelus. The Kohen Gadol Kol Hashana Kula Ki Yisrael Baregel Dami. He has the same din as Yisrael Baharaya. That it's the Gemara says Baharaya that he's Makrivainen. That even when one of the seven relatives dies, says Nachumish, he just keeps on functioning in the Beis Hamikdash. She doesn't leave at all. You see that the Kohen Gadol doesn't observe Avelus. That's the Pasha Pshat in the Chumash. That's how the Gemara understands the Chumash. The Rambam writes not so. The Rambam writes the Dinam of Kohen Gadol. He says, if Meis la Meis, he's Misabal Olam. So the Achranim ask, it's against the Gemara. How can the Rambam pass him against the Gemara? And some Achranim say, well, the Rambam held that there was a Mishnah. The Rambam passed him like the Mishnah. The Mishnah in Sanhedrin talks about when the Kohen Gadol's relative dies, so they give him a Sudas Havro. So if the Kohen Gadol is not observing Avelis, so how does he have a Sudas Havro? So you see from the Mishnah, that's what the Imre Bina writes. The Imre Bina, there's a few Imre Binas. The Imre Bina that has Hagos on Yeridei, the Imre Bina with the Horus on Yeridei, so on the back, he has a few comments on the Rambams, on Gemara. So he claims that the Mokka for the Rambam is from that Mishnah in Sanhedrin. He quotes one of the Rishonim says like that, but from the Mishnah in Sanhedrin you see against the Gemara. What do you mean? A Mishnah against the Gemara? And the Gemara didn't realize there was a Mishnah against it. Obviously there's going to be some kind of an easy teretz. Otherwise the Gemara might cut and would have said, what do you do with the Mishnah? Mishnah Sanhedrin says that there is Avel. So the Pashtus L'chaira seems to be that the Sudas Havra is not an aspect of Neil Gavel. Maybe you can even have Sudas Havra and Chalamot. Maybe you can even have Tesis as a suffix. Tesis has a machlekes about it in my cotton. Maybe Sudas Havra is an Indian of Nichum Avelim. Maybe it's not Nihug Avelis, it's Nichum Tanchumen. And you can even have Sudas Havra and Chalamot. Anyway, but that's the Pashup Shat and the Pasuk is that the Kohen Gadol doesn't have Avelim. The Kohen Gadol doesn't observe any Avelim. The Pasuk by the Kohen Gadol is written a little differently than by the Kohen Hedin. By Kohen Hedin it says, L'nefesh le'itam abiyamav, singular, nefesh. Here it says, I'll call nafshos meis lo yavo. Is there any significance to that? Nafshos meis, but it's nafshos choser, it's choser. It's written nafshas, and it's red, it's a kriyaksiv. It's written nafshas, and you read it, nafshos meis. So the Gemara in Sanhedrin Daf Dalet has a machlokes atanayim, whenever there's a contradiction between the Kri and the Ksiv, do you pass like the Ksiv, do you pass like the Kri? Do you say Yeshem la Mikra? The Mikra means you follow the Kri. Do you say Yeshem la Masores? That you follow the Masores means the Ksiv, the Masoretic text, the Ksiv. So that's a machlokes atanayim there. What's an achkamin in this case? Whether you pass Yeshem la Mikra, Yeshem la Masores, whether you darshan nafshas, or you hold nafshos? Why is it called Yeshem La Mikra? Why isn't it called Yeshav La Mikra? We call it a Binyan Av. How come we don't call it a Binyan Av? And the Tshuva Sagarim, the first Tshuva, one of the collections, they asked the Balabatim, they asked that question. So they give an explanation. I forget already the answer. The question always hit me as being better than the answer. They give some kind of an explanation why it's a Binyan Av and why this is Yeshem La Mikra. When is it a father? When is it a mother? Okay. So the Gemara has a Machlekes HaTanayim. What if you have a Revi'ez Dam Habo Mishnei Mason? What does it mean, nefesh meis? A meis is a dead body. A nefesh a meis is the revi'ez dam habomen a meis. That the minimum amount of blood that a person can live on, you don't. When you have a blood drive, so you donate a pint of blood. Once you donate a gallon of blood, they won't take it because you'll be besakoni. You need a certain amount of blood in order to live. So we're big, fat people. Let's say you have a little baby. A little baby doesn't have so much blood rolling around in his arteries as we have. So what's the smallest amount of blood that the tiniest baby would need to live on? So the Gemara says the Revi is dam. So that's called nefesh meis. Nefesh, the nefesh, how does it say? The nefesh leitam of yam. Nefesh meis, a Revi is dam habo min a meis. Revi is dam in achai, not in the tam. When they take blood over here, we assume everyone's going to survive the procedure. So that dam is not metamic. There's no prohibition for kohen to be in the building when they're donating blood. Only Revi is dam habo min a meis is metamic. And dam tevusa, the Gemara talks about in the end of Nozir and the Mishnah, is dam tevusa means when a person is bludgeoned to death and he's bleeding as he's dying, and you have a little puddle of blood there, so you don't know for sure whether there's a full revi'ez shayotza l'achas hameis, and maybe most of the blood came out when he was still alive. and maybe only a small amount of blood came out. Lach Hashem Eisa Dam Tvus has a whole discussion. Do you say Bikul Beroi? What if there's more blood here? All discussion in one, the end of Nazir and other Mishnahs. What's the status of Dam Tvus? But the din of Dam, that it's Metam, is only Dam in Ameis, not Dam in Ahai. So the Gemara has a Machleikis HaTanayim. Are you Mitzarev for V'yiz Dam Habo Mishnei Meisim? What about a Basar? Kazai is Basar in Ameis, is Metame. So what if you have half a Kazai's and another half a Kazai's? It's not one lump of flesh. There's a half a Kazai's, another half a Kazai's. So the Gemara says that's Mitzarev. The Mishnah says that's Mitzarev. Even Bo Mishnei Meisim. A chatzik kezayis nimeisach, a chatzik kezayis nimeisacher, and they're both in the same room. And one chatzik kezayis is in that corner, the other chatzik kezayis in a different room. And all the doors are open, so it's all one big ohel, so that two chatzoyes esim, on mitzarf miyachat to be mitame, everybody who's in the building. But if you have shnei chatzoy revias dam habom, shnei mesim, that's a machlegis hatanam, because that's a machlegis, how do you read the pasuk? How do you read it? We know. It's a kriyak siv. You read it. The Balkari reads it. We know how he reads it. I call nafshos neis. If he reads it wrong, we scream out and we correct him. He has to read it nafshos. But it's machleg satanaim, how do you pass him la halacha? Do you pass him like the ksiv? Do you pass him like the kri? So the Gemara says, if you pass him like the ksiv, then it's nafshas. Only from meis echod. Habo mishnei meis munat bin mitzart. And if you pass him like the kri, akol nafshos meis, if you say yeshem la mikri, pass him like the kri, then even if he is dam, habo mishnei meis would also be mitzart. Tosis, in the end of Yuma, the last perek in Yuma, is bothered with a kasha. The last perek in Yuma talks about the dinim of Yom Kippur that apply bizman hazeh, the chamish inuim. So one of the chamish inuim is achila shtia. So the Mishnah says that the shir achila and shtia is different from kol tara kula. The shir shtia is kimaloi lugmov instead of being a revius, like in kol tara kula here it's kimaloi lugmov. The shir achila instead of being kazayas is kosevis hagasa. Kosevis hagasa is bigger than kazayas, maloi lugmov is smaller than revius. Everything is different. Why is it different? So the Gemara says, because here it's a function of nefesh lo suuna. It has to do with inu. It's not a shia, it's not a function of achila shtia. It's a different inyan of inu. And the chacham wa mishayir, that's the shia for inu. So the Mishnah says, what if the person ate on Yom Kippur, so if a person eats b'shegig on Yom Kippur, a person drinks b'shegig on Yom Kippur, it's chayv chatos. Because if he would have done it amazing, it would have been chayv koris. If he kosher is not a koris, he goes a chatos. What if the person eats a half a koseves hagasa and he drinks a half a malay lugmov? Would you say, well, he had a half a shir, so the mitzvah from Yachad. Let's say if he's eating a sandwich, a hot dog sandwich on Yom Kippur. He had one third of a kazais of the pickle and one third of the kazais of the hot dog, one third of the kazais of the bun, of the roll. So the Mishnah says, kol oich a mitzvah from Yachad. Let's say he has a malay lugmov of mashke. He didn't have enough. He wanted a little orange juice. He wanted a little vitamin C. So he pours a little bit, he only has a tiny, he has a half a malay lugmav of orange juice and a half a malay lugmav of milk. Even though the orange juice and the milk don't blend in together, if he would mix them together, it wouldn't taste good, it doesn't matter. But if he drinks the half a malay lugmav of this and the half a malay lugmav of that, so it says, kol ha-mashki mitztar from yachad, le malay lugmav, kol ha-ichem mitztar from yachad, le kikosevis ha-gasa. But what about ha-maychel va-ha-mashke? So it says that they're not mitztar from yachad. The Gemara explains why, because we have a Mishnah in Me'ilah. But the Mishnah says that the only time things are mitzvah from Yachad is kol shishmaseim shavim mishireim shavim. If it's shem echad and it has the same shir, shem echad means like this. Let's say I have a chatzi zayis of pears that grew in Eretz Yisrael and they weren't makrish trumas and maisa, so that's tevel. And I have a chatzi zayis of nevela, of pork, so they're not mitzvah from Yachad. Or let's say I have a chatzi zayis of pickle and chatzi zayis of noiser. So the Mishnah says they're not mitzvah from Yachad because they're not shmaseim shavim. It's a different shem isa. Any surim is machlekes satanayim. Rav Meir's opinion is surim is tarfim zemizah. We don't pass like that. Any surim is tarfim zemizah. But even if it's shem echod, if it's shireim einim shavim, if this is the, let's say, on Yom Kippur, it's all a din of nefesh shalos uneh. But if by oichlim the shir is koseves hagasam, amashkim the shir is kimaloi lugmav, so that's not called shireim shavim, so it's vaita not mitztarfim yach. So when the Gemara happens to quote that Mishnah, that's a Mishnah Me'ilah, the Gemara in Yuma, the last pair quotes that Mishnah to explain the Mishnah in Yuma. Why ha'ochel v'ashoyis are not mitztar from Yachad, only kol ha'ochel mitztar from Yachad, v'chol ha'mashki mitztar from Yachad, but ha'ochel v'ashoyis are not. So the Gemara quotes that Mishnah from Me'ilah. You have to have shmaseim sham shirem sham. So Tosfos asks a kasha. There in the end of Yuma, the beginning of Sanhedrin, Tosfos asks the same kasha. Why should there be a machlekes satanayim, whether he darshin kriyok siv, akol nafshes meis lo yovoi? That's the pasuk by the Kohen Gadol. Why should it be a machlokes? Why don't you follow the rule? It's Shmoseim Shav and Mishireim Shav. So it should be Mitztarfim Yachad. Why shouldn't it be Mitztarf Yachad? Rvi is Dam Abom Mishneimes. Shmoseim Shav and Mishireim Shav. Why should it not be Mitztarf Yachad? That's Taisis Kash. So Taisis gives a shver teretz on the Kash. Taisis says, there is a kosuv that it's not. The Tana who holds that it's not is because Bedavke Yeshem Lamasores. And it's an exception to the rule. The Tana who holds that it is Mitztarf Miyachad, he doesn't need a pasuk to say. The Svara Chitzain is that it's Mitztarf Miyachad, based on the universal klal, that kol shishiriyem shav, mishmaseyem shav, mitztarf miyachad. The Tana who holds that it's not Mitztarf, well, he has a Gzeris HaKosuv that says that it's not. That's how Taisa says. The Pashup Shat in the Gemara is not so. The Pashup Shat is that the Tana who holds that it is Mitztarf learns it from this pasuk, that he darshan's naf shows, yeshem la mikra. The Pashup Shat in the Gemara is not the way Taisa says. So on this kasha, it's interesting. The Radzina Rebbe wrote a sefer on Sidri Taras, on a holos, big, two giant volumes, gigantic. Visualize in your mind a big Baba Basra, not the size that we use. A bigger Baba Basra, two fat, big volumes, very heavy. So he has in the middle, he has the Mishnayis Aholos, and then he collected all the Gemaras from Shas. Probably Yerushalmi that have to do those Mishnahs, and he wrote his own Masechus Aholos. He composed his own. Then he wrote his own Pirush on the side. He has everything. It's all his. That's the Sidri Taras. They have it in the library, the Sidri Taras. The Machlokes, some Gedolim held he shouldn't print it because he's going to mislead people into thinking that it's part of Talmud Bavli. Because he made a likut, he collected the Gemara. So he said that he shouldn't print it like that, and like a Gemara. And others didn't care. The Netziv did not think that it was right that he should print it. So then he went ahead. He was a sharpie, this Radzina Rebbe. When he got a haskama, he wanted the Netziv to give haskama. So he didn't want. He wasn't thrilled about the project. So he went to his son, Rav Chaim Boland. He didn't tell him that the father was opposed. So Rav Chaim Boland gave him a haskama. So he printed it in the safe. Then later on, he felt very uncomfortable when he found out that his father was opposed to the whole idea of printing it like that. So on the second printing, they made a compromise. So they left all of the print the same. They just put on the top of every single page, it says Sefer Sidrei Tar. So no one will think that it's a Gemara. It says it's Sefer Sidrei Tar. It doesn't say Maseches Aholos. Sefer Sidrei Tar, top of every page. That was the compromise that they came up. Anyway, he has in his Pirush on Aholos, he talks about this Kasha. He suggests the Teretz, the same Teretz appears in the Migdash David, by Rav David Rappaport, and the same Teretz appears in the Stipulus Sefer, the same Teretz appears in the Chazon Ish. They all say Kulam L'Davarech and Niskavnu. They all say the same Teretz. That when do you say that Kol Sheshmaseim Shav Mishireim Shav and Mitztarf Mizem Zeh? That's only when you're dealing with a Nevela, you're dealing with Tevel, that it makes sense to say the Chatzashir Asman Atar. We usually pass the Chatzashir Asman Atar. You just need a shir in order to get Anoinish, in order to get Malchus, in order to get Kores, Chatos, whatever. But less than the shir also has the Chaloshem Tevel, has the Chaloshem Nevela. But over here, this is a different, to use the language of the Ragachover, he also has this kind of an idea. He says there are two types of shir, and sometimes there's a shir mitztarek, and sometimes there's a shir nekudah, he calls it. Shir mitzaref is that less than the kazayis of nevela is also nevela, just that you have to eat a little more in order that it should be called sufficient to be loika on it. And less than the kazayis of chayla v'dam is also chayla v'dam, but you have to have more. But less than a revius of dam is not called nefesh, because how did the chacham come? Less than a kazayis basar from a nevela, from a mace, is also a mace. A mace is metami bo. How much of the mace is kazayis? If I have a half a kazayis from one mace, half a kazayis from another mace, I don't even need a pasuk to say that if the two chatzoi zeisma are in the same room, that they mitztarf from yachad and they cause tumas ohel to anyone who's in the room. That I know based on the klal in the Mishnah Meila, shmaseim shavim, shireim shavim, mitztarfim. But by the reviz dam, min ameis, why is it the klal that it's metame? Because it's called nefesh ameis. Why is it nefesh ameis? Because the tiniest baby needs a minimum of a reviz dam. Less than a reviz, it probably can't live. The smallest size human being needs a minimum, roughly speaking, needs a minimum of revi'is dam in order to remain alive. But this is a different kind of a shir. This is what the Rabbi Chava would term a shir nekuda. Means when you get the revius, then it's called a nefesh. Less than the revius, it doesn't even have the shame of nefesh. And there's a ravid that some of these, they all say the same teretz, the Mikdash David and the Stipler and the Chazanish, but they don't all quote the ravid. Half of them quote the ravid, half of them don't. There's a ravid where he says that if you have the two chazois esim of bisar hameis in two different parts of the room, they're mitzar from yachad. But he says if you have two chatzoi revius of dam in hameis in two different parts of the room, they're not mitzar from yachad. The ravid says you have to have the full revius dam of makom echad. Why? So that's what the Ragat Shava and all the others, they also, they say the same thing. The Ragat Shava uses his language. This is a shir nekuda. When you have when you have less than a revius, it doesn't have a shame nefesh. When you have the revius, it has a shame nefesh. You have to have that it should be contiguous. They should all be touching each other. You can't be mitzar from two different places. So since it's an inyan of nefesh, that you need a shir revius to constitute a shame nefesh, so hasvara no senes that if it's bo mishnei mesim, it would not be mitzar. The svara chitzayna should have been that it's not mitzar. And the Tana who holds that it is, he's the one who needs all of harayah. All of harayah. He needs the raya from the pasuk to prove that they are mitzar from mishnei mesim. That's the pashtus nigmar. Not the way Taisus says that. That's the svara chitzayin, and the one who holds that it's not the star if he needs the pashtus. No, the pashtus is that the svara chitzayin is that it's not mitzar, and the one who holds that it is mitzar if he needs the pashtus. No, pashtus is you wouldn't even say chatzis shiras min haTorah by a chatzis zayis min hameis either. Let's say a kohen is not, the minchas chinuch raises the question. A kohen is not permitted to be mitami to a meis. So what if the kohen is going to touch less than a kezayis basar? Let's say in a biology lab sometimes they have a tiny piece of basar meis, which is less than a kezayis basar. There's a kohen prohibited to come in contact with less than a kezayis basar. Maybe chatzis shiras min haTorah. So the pashtus says that's a joke. What do you mean chatzis shiras min haTorah? It doesn't, not only does it not make sense by dam, it doesn't even make sense by the meis because it's not mitami. That's the pashtus is that if it's less than the shear tum, it's not mitami, so it doesn't count. And even though there are achrayim who say that the kohen is forbidden to come in contact with a mace, even in an oifen where it's not mitame, but still, if the pashtus is that it's only if the mace is such a mace that's mitame, I'm coming in contact in a way that I'm not becoming tame. But if I come in contact with so small an amount of the mace that's less than a kezayis, that it's not even mitame. So the pashtus is that the kohen is not muzal. Pashtus pshat is that there is no iser of chatzi shiras min haTorah. Ben Hasfinach has a lot on Tumas Kohen. That's one of the issues that he raises. Would there be a din of chatzi shiras min haTorah by less than a kezayis min haMeis? The pashtus is that not. There's another famous topic that's a big diun in Rishonim and in Achronim and in Hasfinach and this opening mitzvah in the Parshas Emor. We have a klal that whenever you have a sofik tumah b'shus hayochid, sveikoi tumah, even svek sveike, is badai tumah, and whenever you have a sofik tumah b'shus harabim, sveikoi tohar. Unlike all at Tarakula, where we normally say that if you have one sofik, sveikoi deraisa l'chumra, and svek sveike l'kula, here, in the case of sofik tumah, we disregard sofik versus svek sveike, it all depends on b'shus hayochid versus b'shus harabim. If the Sofik is B'shus HaRabim, everything is Mutar. Sofik is B'shus HaYochid, everything is Tamei Vadai. B'shus HaRabim, everything is Tohar Vadai, and B'shus HaYochid, everything is Tamei Vadai. So the Minhas Chinuch raised this Shaila. What's the din? Let's say there's a Sofik Tumah B'shus HaRabim. So if the Kohen will come in contact with it, he's going to walk away Tohar, because Sofik Tumah B'shus HaRabim is Tohar. Then maybe I should still say that Tzveka Deraisa L'chumra. The Sofik Tumah B'shus HaRabim, the cloud of B'shus HaRabim, Sveika Tam, maybe that only paskinizes the suffer the issue of Hilchas Tumah V'Tara. Does it also paskinize the issue of Tumas Kohanim? Maybe I should treat Tumas Kohanim as a topic of Issa V'Heta. Or let's say B'shus HaYochid. B'shus HaYochid, even if you have a Svek Sveika L'Kul, it's still Tamei Vadai. So fine, if the Kohen will come in contact with the Svek Sveika of Tumah B'shus HaYochid, it'll be a Tamei Vadai, a mace. We're talking about a mace, not a sheret. It'll be a Tamei Vadai, but maybe it's mutter for him to do that because Svek Sveika is mutter. Sveika derais al-chumra and svek sveika l'kula. So this is the shaila that the Minhas Chinuch raised. And the new edition of the Minhas Chinuch, where they have all of the very valuable footnotes, they give you all the marmakaimus and rishonim and achrenim and tshuva svarim, where this topic of the Minhas Chinuch is discussed. It's a meaty topic. What's exactly the suffix of the Minhas Chinuch? The Kohen Gadol is, in this sense, the same as a Nazir. A Nazir is not permitted to be mitami l'meisim, even to design kraivim, only a meis mitzvah. And the Kohen Gadol is also only permitted to be mitami to a meis mitzvah. They both are the same. They both have only a heter meis mitzvah. There are three people like that. There are two kinds of Kohen Gadol. There's a Kohen Gadol merubah begodim, and there's a Kohen Gadol Moshuach b'shem and amishcha. A Kohen HaMashiach. You make a Kohen Gadol either by Mashiach b'shem and amishcha, by ribuy begodim. So the Mishnah in Nazir has this funny discussion. There are two people walking down the street on a desert island. Three people on a desert island. One of them drops dead. So somebody has to bury him. Jewish guy. Someone has to bury him. There's nobody around. It's a Meis Mitzvah. The other two people are, one is a Nazir and one is a Kohen Gadol. So they're both permitted to be mitame to the Meis Mitzvah, but you don't need both. All you need is one of them. So who is more chomer than whom? Or if you have two Kohanim Gdolim on the desert island. Someone died, that makes mitzvah, there's no one else around. Two kinds of dilemmas. One is a Mashuach b'shem and Amishcha, and one is a Merubah b'Gadim. There was only one time in the history of the world when the Shem and Amishcha was Nignaz, and then the old Kohen Gadol retired, and they appointed a new Kohen Gadol. They Merubah b'Gadim, so at that time you can have two kinds of dilemmas simultaneously. One Merubah b'Gadim, one Mashuach b'shem and Amishcha. Otherwise you don't have. The whole period of the Bais Rishon until the days of Yoshia Melech, there was no Merubah b'Gadim. They were all Mashuach b'shem and Amishcha. And then from that time on, it was not Mashuach b'shem and Amishcha. But at that time in history, there were probably 10-20 years that it was possible to have two Kohanim Gdolim. So the Mishnah talks about such a theoretical hechatimtzum. If at that time the two Kohanim Gdolim are on a desert island and there's a third Jew there and he dies and somebody has to bury him, so who is Mocham? So the Mishnah discusses it. Who should be Mitami? What's the issue? The one who is more chomer should not be mitame. The one who is less chomer should be mitame. Why? That's like the principle of machila moso hakala kal tchila. There's a din when you have a chayla she'esh b'sakana and has to eat non-kosher food. So the Gemara says in the last parak. Tevel. If you're going to eat tevel, that's going to be misa b'dei shamayim. And if you're going to eat nevela, non-kosher meat, that's only nisa lav. So it's better to eat the non-kosher meat than to eat the tevel. So let's say you have pigol or noiser, that's a nisa kores, and you have tevel is only a nisa misa b'dei shamayim, which are not the same. Kores and misa b'dei shamayim are not the same. Kores is worse than misa b'dei shamayim. The Gemara says on the last daf in the end of Maseches Ma'ikotim. The Koreis, the person officially is supposed to die at 50. Sometimes they'll give them a break, but they'll let them live longer because of Chusim, whatever. But officially, one who's Chayv Koreis is supposed to die at the age of 50. Misa B'dei Shamayim is supposed to die at the age of 60. But Misa B'dei Shamayim is not as chomer as Koreis. So the Gemara says, let's say there's Tevel, it's Misa B'dei Shamayim, and then there's Noisa, which is Koreis. It's better to eat the Tevel than to eat the Noisa, because Machila Masal Hakal Hakal Tchila. So, Pashtus is, why is there such a klal of machila moso hakala kal tchila? The Pashtus is because pikuach nefesh allows a chayla to eat non-kosher food is a p'china of d'chuyo. It's not really a p'china of butra. So whenever it's a p'china of d'chuyo, the Gemara says whenever it's efshe l'kayim shneyim, so you have to avoid violation of the yisra. So what if it's efshe l'kayim, I can save my life without violating this yisra. I can violate a lesser yisra, which is not going to be as chomer as this yisra. So that's also called efshe l'kayim shneyim. So the Pashtus in this Mishnah in Nozir, Perek Shnei Nazirim, it's not Perek Shnei Nazirim, Perek Kohen Gadol. Shnei Nazirim is a different topic. And Perek Kohen Gadol in the middle of Nozir, where the Kohen Gadol and the Nozir are walking down the street of the two Kohanim Gedolim walking on the desert island and they find the Meis Mitzvah. So the Pashtus of the premise of the whole discussion, Lachora, seems to be that the Kohen Gadol's being Metami to a Meis Mitzvah is a Pchina of Dechuya. It's a matter of dechuya, it's not a matter of hutra. Al pi pashtus seems to be a matter of dechuya. And machila mosa hakala kal tchila, so if you can take care of the tzorach of kfuras meis mitzvah by violating a lesser avera, so you have no heter to violate the greater avera. So then we're making a whole machloikas hatanayim. Well, who has the greater avera? Is the nozir the greater avera to mimetami to meisim, or is the Kohen Gadol the greater of the two averas? Or the two kohanim gedolim, one is the merubah begodim, one is the mashuach b'shem and amishcha. So who is the Mochamadik Kohen Gadol? That's the pashtus of the premise of that sugya, that the heter of the Kohen Gadol to be metami to a meis mitzvah is a bechina of hutra. The brachas daf chaf is a discussion in Rashi and Tosfos about that, whether the heter of being metami to a meis mitzvah is hutra or tchuyah. The pashtus pshat in the Mishnah Nazir is that it's the tchuyah. That's why you say machina mosu akala kal tchil. That's the pashtus in the Mishnah. When Haschina has a harifas on a Rambam, a shvere Rambam in Hilchas Ovel, but the Rambam writes regarding the koyin being metame to Zion Kroidim. The koyin is permitted and obligated to be metame to the seven relatives, so is that the chuyah or is that hutra? So that's the machlekes Rashi and Tosfos in Brachas on Daf Kof. But the Rambam says that it's the chuyah, it's not hutra, and he gives you an afkamina lahalacha. He says, if the Kohen wants to attend a funeral of his sister, of a child, whatever, in a funeral home, and there's another mace there at the same time, so the Rambam says if it would have been hutra, it would have been mutter for the Kohen to attend, even though there's another mace. But now that it's the chuyah, the Rambam holds that it's chuyah, so he's not permitted to enter into the room knowing in advance that there are two maces there, that there's his mace with another mace. So what does this got to do with chuyah and hutra? Why should it depend on chuyah and hutra? So the Minhag Chinuch has on this mitzvah a charifas. He quotes the famous Ran in Beitza on Daf Yud Zayin, where the Ran talks about the topic of marbe b'shiurim. Let's say you want to cook some food on Yontif, you're hungry, so you want to cook some food. So you really only have, let's say you're just a husband and a wife, so she only wants to cook one meal, very little meat. But she has a big piece of meat. Does she have to cut off the rest of the meat that she knows for sure she's not going to eat today? Or can she cook the whole big piece of meat? So the Gemara says she's permitted to cook the entire piece of meat because marbe b'shiurim is mutar on yontif. Since you have a heter echol nefesh, for 1 pound of meat, so I can cook already the whole 5 pounds of meat, the whole 10 pounds of meat. There's no additional avir. And nonetheless, the Gemara says in Menaches, let's say there's a chodesh she'esh b'sakana on Shabbos, and the doctor says to save his life, you have to pluck off a fruit from the tree. He needs a fresh fruit plucked off and have him eat it, and that's going to save his life. But if you have a branch that has 10 fruits on it, you're not allowed to break off that branch. If you can pluck off one fruit, you're not allowed to pluck off a branch that has more than one fruit. So the shaila is, why? But that's marbe b'shiurim. It's the exact same halacha of kotz there. One act of tzira, like one act of bishul, but I'm cooking 5 pounds of meat instead of 1 pound of meat. So on Yom Tov, I say, if I have a heter for one little amount, one part, one kishir of the melacha, so the heter applies to the whole melacha, even to the extra 4 pounds. And here you're doing one act of ksira, and have a heter pikuach nefesh for one fruit, so you're not allowed to break off that branch that has more than one fruit on it. You see here, ma'abi b'shurim is awesome. So this is the kasha that all the b'shurim have. So the Ran has a harifah zika answer. He says that it all depends on the tchuyah hutra. He says that oichal nefesh on yontav is hutra, Hashenik came to Kroch Nevesh on Shabbos in the Chuyah. So he says, therefore, Chapsan Avkamina for Marbe Bishur. That on Yom Tov, Orechal Nevesh is Hutru. Hutru means absolutely Heta Gomor. So since the first Kashir has a Heta Gomor, so it's Heta Gomor, so there's no Isser in adding on, in having 5 pounds of meat. You don't have to cut off the extra 4 pounds that you know for sure you're not going to eat today. Since the 1 pound is Heta Gomor, so the Heta Gomor is Mata the Homo Lachma. Hashenik came Kof Nevesh on Shabbos, which is a question, and the Ran claims that it's only Dechuya, not Hutra. Others disagree. The Ran claims that it's only Dechuya, so he says, since it's not Hutra, Heta Gomes, it's only Docha. It's only Docha to the extent that that you have to Kof Nevesh. Past that, there's no Heta whatsoever. So only on that one fruit that he needs, there is a Heta. You're not permitted to break off the branch that has more than one fruit on it. So the Minhag Chinuch says that's exactly what's happening over here. The Kohen wants to walk into the funeral home, and there are a few mason there. He's going to walk in, it's going to be one Issa Tumah. It's only one. He walks in, he doesn't become Tomei twice. He doesn't have to wait Hazor Shlishi Shvi twice in each. No. He's only Tomei once. But he says, still, that's like Marbe B'shurim, he claims. So what's the din of Marbe B'shurim? Is the Kohen permitted to enter the Oyel HaMeis, the funeral home, knowing that his relative is there, that's Heter, and there's a non-relative there, there's a Karev and there's a Rachay, but that's the case of Marbe B'shurim. So he says, if it would have been Hutra on the relative, then it would have been Mutar even Marbe B'shurim. So the Rambam says, no, that it's Dechuy, it's not Hutra. So he says, the Rambam holds like the Ran, and that's what the Rambam is talking about. since the Rambam holds that the tumah to the Zayin Kerovim is the Pechin of the Chuya, so that's why there's an Isur of Marba Bishur. So the whole deal in the later Svarim, the Haskinah just came out 90 years ago. It's not so old or safer. So there's a whole literature in the latest form, whether he's right or wrong. Is it really a tzushtal or not? Maybe it has absolutely nothing to do with Marba Bishmar. If it has nothing to do, then we're left with this Rambam that no one knows how to make heads or tails out of. That's what the Rambam sounds like he says, that this issue as to whether the Kohen is permitted to walk into the funeral home, when there's more than his mace there, there's another mace there. Very often there is more than his mace, because even in Jewish funeral homes, unfortunately, they do embalmings by Jews who are not observant, and many of them embalm the mason. In order to embalm the mason, they take out the blood and they inject some kind of a liquid chemical into the blood vessel. So what do they do with the blood? They don't bury it. They don't care. So a lot of times they leave it around the funeral home for a while. So you will often have a revi'is dam in the funeral home, even if they don't have another funeral schedule. You'll ask them, they'll say, no other dead bodies in the building. It'll often be the case that they'll have a revi'is dam from another mace. If they're in the practice of doing embalmings, which unfortunately many of them are, then they may have two mace in there, without you realizing it. The Gemara has a din in Nozir that the Kohen is only mitame to the Zayin Kerovim is man shehu shol and the lad is man shehu choser. Let's say someone murdered his father and they cut up his body. So the Gemara says, since the body is not intact, the body is not in the state that it was right before he died. They cut his head off. They cut the father's head off. So then the Gemara says the Kohen is not permitted to be mitame. That's the Rav Soloveitchik once gave a whole Yahrzeit Shira on this issue of Tumas Kohanim. So he mentioned that sometimes in America the police insist on doing an autopsy. So whenever an autopsy, for whatever, they had to be, so whether they did it right or wrong. But a lot of times they'll do an autopsy. So whenever they do an autopsy, and they're cutting up the body and taking out limbs, even if they stuff them all back in, so he said that's called Bizman Shu Chaser. Moshe also has a tshuva like that. He discusses such a topic, that you're not permitted to be mitami to such a mess. The Kohen is not permitted to be in the Tamit to such a mitzvah. There's a machloikis in Mechaber, and Mechaber quotes the machloikis of the late Rishonim, Bizman Shehu Sholem, Lo Bizman Shehu Choser. What if they had a limb was amputated while the father was alive? They had to cut off a finger, they had to cut off a leg. And then the parent died later. Is that also called Bizman Shehu Choser? A Choser only means Choser Nishas Miso. The body, at the time that he died, was in such a state, and then after death, with the killing of the father, they cut off his head, and that's the case. The Gemara has an Ozim. A murderer killed the father by cutting off his head. So then the Gemara says the son is not permitted to be mitame. But maybe if they had cut off his head, mechayim. Maybe if they amputated a limb, whatever, and then he's at the time of death, nothing changed from the time of death. So maybe then it's mutas. So that's a machlokes. That's a machlekes in a din derais. Machlekes in a din derais. There are some who write that according to the Ravid, there is a machlokes, the Rambam and the Ravid, regarding the Isur of Tumas Kohanim. The Rambam says that even, let's say the Kohen went to the funeral of his father, he's already mitame to a mace today, and then he touches another mace afterwards in the afternoon on the same day. So the Rambam says he's over on Anissa. He's over on Anissa by being the Tamil Mace, even though it's not really Moshe Tumal to Masai. So the Rambam says it's still forbidden. And the Ravid disagrees with the Rambam. It's a machlek, the Rambam and the Ravid had to read a Gemara in Nozir. So the Ravid disagrees and he says, no, if the Kohen was Matami to a Mace today, and then he's Matami to another Mace tomorrow, so that's Moshe Tumal to Masai, because he's prolonging the days of Tumah. Because a Tami Mace needs Hazosh Lishi Shvi, so you have to wait till the third day, you have to wait till the seventh day. So if he's mitame to a mace on Friday after having already been mitame to a mace on Thursday, so he's going to have to wait for Hazosh Lishishvi an extra day. So that's called Maisiv Tumal Tumas. But if he touched a mace at 9 in the morning, the Heter B'Yisa doesn't matter. And then he touches another mace 4 in the afternoon, so that's not being Maisiv Tumal Tumas. He's telling me anyway he has to wait the same Hazor Shlishi Shvi. Anyway, so the Ravid holds that there's no Malkus. That's okay. Then the Shilti Gibam, that's the question. When the Ravid said there's no Malkus, he means that it's Mutter. It means that there's no Malkus. The Ravid has a funny lotion. No Malkus. No Malkus should mean it. So what did he write? No Malkus. So the Mishnah Melech discusses that in Hilchas Sovel. The Ravid is in Hilchas Noz in Naziris. And the Mishnah Melech is in Hilchas Sovel. He discusses it. He assumes the Pasha Pshat in the Ravid is that it's Mutter. The Dogel Mervava on the side of the Yerideya writes that it was shown to him that the Ravid himself writes in the Sefer Tmim Deim that he's only Pater from Malchus. The Ravid doesn't hold that it's Heta Gomer. The Ravid just says that it's not Malchus. That's what he writes. It was shown to him in the Tmim Deim. Just historically, the Hassan Sofer writes in his Chubis that who was the one who showed the Nadi Yehuda, that Yehuda has writes something in the Dogel Mervava and then he adds on a bracket. Apparently originally it was printed one way and then the brackets was added on later, and that was in later editions that was added on. So he says that was my Rebbe. He says his Rebbe Rav Nos Nadler once met the Nadi Yehuda and they got to discussing the topic. So Rav Nos Nadler told him that what he wrote in Dogel Mervava is wrong, because when the Ravid said there's no Malchus, he didn't mean to say that it's Mutter, just meant there's no Malchus. So the Nadi Yehuda says, but the Mishlam Melech says not so. So he said, but the Ravid says like that. The Ravid in Tmim Deim. So that's what the Nadi Yehuda added on. In the Dogel Mervava, he added that on. In the brackets, that someone showed him that in the Tmim Deim it says Beferish, that there is an Issa Derash. But many assumed Pshat in the Ravid was that it was Mutter. And then the Shulti Giborim, Amasech HaShavuos, in the beginning of Masech HaShavuos, the Gemara has a lot about Tumah V'Tara. So in the beginning of Masech HaShavuos, the Shilti Giborim quotes from the Smag that if one follows the opinion of the Ravid, that if you touch a mace in the afternoon on the same day that you touch the mace in the morning, there's no mace of Tumah V'Tara, there's no Isser. So Bizman said that we don't have any Eifa Paro, so he's not really prolonging, even if he touched the mace 5 years ago and he touches another mace today, he's not really prolonging the mace Tumah Samay. He has no Eifa Paro anywhere. He has no option, he has no opportunity to be Matar himself anyway. So the Smag says that according to the Ravid, this man has said, there wouldn't be, if a coin was once Matamit to a mace, there wouldn't be a prohibition to be Matamit to another mace, even if it's days later. Because Ben Kovaka, we don't have any Eifa Paro. So that's what some Kohanim on the Eglu Hakel about in Yoni Tumas Ameis based on the Ravid. Rav Soloveitchik said that that's a Bizoyan Hat. Rabbi Schwab told him he's not permitted to. Rabbi Schwab just passed away a couple of months ago. So Rabbi Schwab knew that the fellow's probably going to shop around, so he's going to get a heter. He's going to ask someone else. So if he asks long enough, you get someone to say that it's mutter. Rabbi Schwab asked Rabbi Moshe Feinstein to write him a tshuva b'ksav on the issue, what his opinion is. And when he sent it to him, Rabbi Schwab sent out a Xerox copy to all the membership of the shul. I remember, it must have been around 20 years ago. Now it's printed in Rav Moshe's Sefer, Nigras Moshe. The handwritten tshuva he sent out to everyone, where Rav Moshe writes also, based on a Gemara in Mitzvah's Chalitza and Yivamis. But the Gemara says, what kind of a shoe do you use to do Chalitza? So there are different opinions. The Gemara says, we pass him like this. And the Gemara says, and even if Eliyahu HaNavi is going to come and he's going to tell us that we're doing wrong, we're not going to listen to him. If the meaning has been established that we pass him like so, so Eliyahu HaNavi can't reverse the psalm. So the same over here. It's a shayla and a din de rabbanon there. If Eliyahu HaNavi is going to come and say we made a mistake, then we're going to listen to Eliyahu HaNavi. It's a shayla of a chumra de rabbanon. Should you make exer de rabbanon? So the Gemara says we don't make exer de rabbanon, or we do make exer de rabbanon. And even if Eliyahu HaNavi is going to come, we're not going to reverse it. If he's going to tell us we have a mistake in Masor, we will listen. It's a different story. So that's where Rabbi Moshe wrote such a lotion. See, from that Gemara that we have, we work out a psak, and part of working out the psak is what has been accepted over the centuries. So he writes also like that. Has been accepted over the centuries that we follow the Rama's opinion, or we assume that the Ravid didn't mean that it's mutter. The Ravid meant that just that there's no Malkus, but it's still forbidden. Or whatever the explanation is, either like the Rambam or like the Tmim Deim's, Tmim Deim's written by the Ravid, Tmim Deim's version of the Ravid, tradition has it for quite a few centuries that it's forbidden. Thank you. a husband is metame to his wife, the Chachamim understand in the pasuk kiim l'sheira hakoravelo. Sheira is the ishto, and the Gemara says, why doesn't it say ishto? Because if it say ishto, you would think even ishto arusa. Now that it says sheira, is davke nesua. The Gemara quotes the price ishto arusa loy oynelo v'la metame lo v'la meifin nedareha. There's one of the differences between arusa and nesua that he's not metame lo. The coin is not metame the ishto arusa. But if she's ishto nesua, then he is metame. But then there's another exception to the rule. Even if she's ishto nesua, leitama bal biyamov lehechalo. So Rashi quotes from the Torah's Kohanim, the husband is not permitted to be metame to his wife if she's an isha huasur olav. Let's say a kohen is married to a grusha, baveira. A kohen marries a gioris. A kohen marries a chalolo. He's not allowed to. But he's still married. Called money doesn't give it a get. He's still married. So what if the wife dies? Erisin, nisuin, he's meifin adoreho. The full works. Meifin adoreho. If she dies, a yarshin. You don't say that the ishus is incomplete and there's only erisin, there's no nisuin. The Rambam quotes at the Sefta. If you marry an isha, or you saw marries a mamzeres, a kohen marries a grusha, zayin of a chalolo, there's a full ishus with an isuin and a yarshin, sir, and the whole works. Just one exception to the rule. He's not metamilo. Leitam palbiyamav lehei chalo. What does that mean, lehei chalo? The Rashi quotes from the Sifrei, from the Torah's Kohanim. He's not permitted to be metami himself to his wife. Lehei chalo. If a kohen marries a grusha, so the Mishnah says in Bechoris that kol zman that he's still married to her, he's not permitted to do avodah in Beis Hamikdash. And in Shulchan Aruch they quote a Tshuvas HaRashba, you're not allowed to give him the first aliyah and you don't let him duchen. Any kohen who is married to a woman baveira, or if he's rogel to be metame lemesim, his practice is that he's metame lemesim, so he's status of kuhuna is temporarily suspended. He's considered a cholol temporarily. Bizman shuhu ishto psulo shuhu mechulo bobo do imo. The husband's status of kuhuna is temporarily suspended. Once he's going to divorce his wife and he's going to take a neder, let's say, and he's never going to marry another grusha. He's going to marry, divorce this one, marry another grusha. So doesn't know. If he divorces this grusha, and the Mishnah even says even if he didn't divorce her yet, he took a neder, he's going to divorce her, he's never going to marry another grusha again. So then he may do avodah, he may get the first aliyah, and he may duchen. But calls man that he's involved in violation, if he eats a treifus, that's not. But if he's in violation of the dinam of kahuna, if he's in violation of the special dinam of kahuna, he's married to a grusha, he's metamil a mason, and so on. So then he's temporarily considered a cholam. That's a question. This is a real din deraisa. That's what it really means. The pashup shat in the Mishnah says it's only a penalty mid the rabbanah. Pashup Shat that it's not a din deraisa. So the Pashup Shat and the Pasuk he can read differently. Rashi writes, Chaim Pshutu Shal Mikra, Rashi gives a Pshutu Shal Mikra, not like the Torah's Khan. So that's a question. This drash, according to the Rambam, the whole din that the husband is metami to ishto, Nesua, is only the Rabbanon. It's not even a din deraisa at all. So the Rambam holds that this whole interpretation of this Pasuk is not a drashic mode, it's only an asmachta. According to the Rambam, but the Shaila is according to the Ravid and the Rav HaRishonim who hold that Kim L'Sheir HaKoravel of Sheir is the Ishto. That's a real drashic Mura Deraisa, that the husband is Metami to Ishto. And then Yidarsh in this Pasuk Dalal Leitam Abal Biyam of Leichalo, the husband is not allowed to be Metami to his wife if she's an Isho HaAsura Olav Isa Kuhuna, because he's temporarily Mechulo. So that's the question, is this also a drashic Mura Deraisa, or this can't be? Yeah, the temporary Chalolos of the husband, who ever heard of such a thing? He's temporarily considered a chol. So the Pashup Shat is that it's only a penalty mid the Rabbanim. But there are some who hold, there's a Tshuvas Rabbeinu Mizrachi, who says beferish that it's a din deraisa. And the Pirush HaRavid and the Torah's Kohanim sounds also like you hold that it's a din deraisa. It's a very strange shita though. It's really a Yetzir Defendig shita. The Pashup Shat is that it's only a din deraisa. And this whole drasha is only an asmachtam. Leitam Baal B'yam of Lehechalo. That's only a knas from the Rabbanon. Well, when do you have this din? When do you have the knas from the Rabbanon? When do you have this din deraisa? If the kohen is in violation of the special dinim of kahuna, let's say the kohen eats non-kosher food, that's not a din of kahuna. The kohen not a shomer Shabbos. That's not one of the laws of kahuna. Only if he violates the laws of kahuna. For example, let's say he's married to a grusha or he's metami lemason. What else? What about Leikru Chukorach Averoshim? He shaves with a razor. No one is allowed to shave with a razor. Uldiv Saram La Yisra Tu Saratas. No one is allowed to do this. These dinim apply to all of Klal Yisrael, but nonetheless, the Gemara Yevamos in the first parak says Beferish that Pasuk He is an additional prohibition for a kohen. This is also from the Isuri Kohuna. But let's say if you have a kohen who shaves with a razor, say Taki is not allowed to. He's temporarily a cholo, because that's in violation of Isuri Kohuna. If he eats chaz, he's not a shem shabbos. That's not from the Isuri Kohuna. But if he shaves with a razor, he has to kind of like galechu. That's a kedushas kohuna dikadin. I don't know. I think that's what the tshuva. I already forgot the context of the tshuva of Avdalya Mizrahi. I think that's what he talks about. What about the children? But the pashup shat is that it's not. It doesn't affect the children. Pashup shat that does not affect the children. The Gemara in the end of Gittin comments on the pasuk Zayin, Isha Grusha Nisha Lo Yikachu. If a woman is divorced from her husband, a kohen is not permitted to marry her. Let it say a Grusha Lo Yikachu. What mean Isha Grusha Meisha? Of course, she's Grusha Meisha from her husband. What do you have to say she was divorced? The only one you can be divorced from is you. So the Gemara, the Mishnah has a chiddush. The further sugya in the last parak in Masechus Gittin, that if a man gives his wife a get, let's say a kohen is married to a woman, and he gives his wife a get, it's harei ze gitech, harei iat mutaris l'shum adam. I'm giving you a get that I am relieved, a one-sided get. I am relieved of my responsibilities as a husband. I'm not going to support you anymore, but I want you to remain an aguna for the rest of your life. You shouldn't be permitted to marry anybody else. There ain't no such thing. There is no such get in the world. He gives a get that no one can give such a get. He gives wife a get that she should be asura to remarry. That's not a get. The Gemara says it doesn't matter. If a kohen gives such a get to his wife, he's not allowed to remain with his wife. That's called isha grush misha afidalos gasha elam isha. He's not permitted to remain with his wife. Or let's say a Yisrael gives his wife such a nutty get, harei megureshes menu harei iat mutaris l'shum adam, and then later on he dies. So now his wife may marry, because now she's an almana, but she's not permitted to marry a kohen, because since the husband gave her a get, and he says, Haret Mugresh is Mimeni, even though he has done Haret Iat Muteris Lushim Adam, so the get wasn't chal, nonetheless she's Asura. That's the mashmoyas of the pasuk, Isha Grusha Me Isha, Afidu Lenis Garsha Ela Me Isha. The Rambam writes that this is only a chumrim in the Rabbanim, that it can't be a din derais. It doesn't make any sense. How can it be a din derais? And the Magid Mishnah disagrees with the Rambam. He says, no, it's a din deraisa. The Shagasari has a tshuva. Shagasari has tshuvas. You know, not a shayla came up, and you have to work out how to pass. He has a tshuva. Who's right? Rashi HaTaisa. Who's right? The Rambam and the Raisa. So that's why he has a tshuva. Hey, who's right? The Rambam and the Magid Mishnah. He says, of course the Magid Mishnah is right. He says, the Rambam is against all the Gemaras. The Gemara is Beferi, said it's a drosha Gemara. So the Shagasari and the tshuva Sachadoshes. The second volume of the Shagasari has a tshuva about this. He thinks that for sure the din is a din derais. That's what the Gemara calls reach haget. It smells like a get. It's not really a get. Reach haget smells like a get. The Pashup Shat is that that's a din derais. The Bechana Basman suggests in one place that the Gemara has such a parallel din. The Negea too, in the beginning of the second parak in Gittin, the Gemara has such a parallel din, but Negea too Chalitza. When you do, let's say a man divorces his wife, he takes a copy of Masor and he gives it to his wife, says, Harayat Mugoresh is Mameni, and here's the get, and he walks away. You look in the Masor, doesn't say a word about get, doesn't say anything. So that's not even a Recha get, that's nothing. He gives a blank sheet of paper, that's not a Recha get. If he gives his wife a get, he says, Harayat Mugoresh Mameni, but Harayat Yat Mataris Mushumar, that's a Recha get. Sometimes it's ain't no klal, ain't no get klal, zero, and sometimes it's a reach haget. So the Gemara says by chalitza, let's say the man died and he leaves no children, his wife has to do chalitza. So you have to, there are rules and regulations when the chalitza is valid. Sometimes the Gemara says the chalitza was so bad, instead of taking off his shoe, she took off his sock. So the Gemara says that's nothing, ain't a chalitza. And sometimes, let's say they did the chalitza without a bezel. So she took off a shoe, a leather shoe, but they did it without a bezin. Cholza balayla. Balayla, there's never any bezin. There's no bezin balayla. But then the Gemara says it's a chalitza psuma. It is a chalitza, but it's a chalitza psuma. What's the difference between a chalitza psula and zero? So the Gemara says the difference is that once the Yavam did a chalitza, he's not permitted to do yibum. Once you do chalitza, you're not allowed to do yibum. So the question is, what kind of a din is that? Chalitza psula. Manoshach, if it is a chalitza, let her be permitted to remarry. Lashuk, and if she's not a chalitza, so why is she forbidden to do yibum? Why do you have such a middle stage? An androgynous? That it's a chalitza to ask her from doing yibum, but it's not a chalitza to be matar lashuk. So Rabbi Chana Basma suggests, from the Gemara is mashma b'feirus that they patterned it after reach haget. That the reach haget is not a kosher get, it's not chal, it's not matar the woman lihinasi lashuk, but it is a get lechumra. It's a get lechumra that you treat the woman as a grusha, that she's not permitted to marry a kohen. So Rabbi Chana even suggests that maybe just like reach haget, the Magen Mishnah holds is an institution that exists. Min haTorah, it's a din d'oraisa. Maybe the whole institution of chalitza psula, as opposed to ina chalitza klal, maybe the whole institution of chalitza psula is also a din d'oraisa. All based on this pasuk of isha grusha meisha. The Gemara Gittin comments on the next pasuk, the kidashto. You have to be mechabed the koyim. So the Gemara understands that to mean you have to give the kohen the first aliyah. The Gemara says that it's a din d'oraisa, that the kohen gets the first aliyah is a din d'oraisa. Either Mishnah says in Gittin it's only a takana d'rabbanan. The Gemara says no, takana d'rabbanan is that he should not be mochel on his kovod. On the level of d'oraisa, if the kohen is mochel on his kovod, he forgoes the schus to get the first aliyah, you would permit that. And the d'rabbanan, we don't allow him to be mochel on his kovod. But the fact that he's entitled to get the first aliyah, the Gemara says that it's a drasha gemara derais. Tosis writes in Chulin that the fact that the kohen gets the first aliyah is only midirabbanan. Why? What do they do with the Gemara? There's a Tosis in Chulin. Where is it? Torah Tmima doesn't quote it. I think it's around Daf Pei Zayin or Daf Pei Ches. So the Gemara says that if I shech the chicken and I'm about to do kisi adam and somebody else rushes in and they grab, they steal the mitzvah from me. So then the Gemara says that there's a penalty that Rabbi Gamliel instituted, that if you steal a mitzvah from someone else, you have to pay asara zehuvin. So Tosfos says they once called up a kohen for an aliyah in shul, and a non-kohen ran up and he grabbed the aliyah and he said the brachas, and that was it. So the question is, you to kriyas haTorah. They didn't call a kohen. The kohen bossed his aliyah. The other guy stole his aliyah from him. So Taisus discusses, do they have to pay, does the Ganef have to pay Asara Zehuvim to the Kohen or not? So Taisus says that not. That the one who shechts the chicken has the schus to do the Kisei Adam, that's a Din Min HaTorah. Learned that from a Pasuk in Chumash. That the Kohen gets the first Aliyah, that's only a Takana Midrabon. That's not a Din Min HaTorah. And the only time you have to pay Asara Zehuvim is when he was entitled to this Mitzvah Min HaTorah. If it was his mitzvah, only the Rabbanan, if the whole mitzvah is only the Rabbanan, then there's no penalty of Asar Zulu. So that's the question. How do Taisus understand the Gemara? The Gemara says in Git Meferish that the kohen getting the first aliyah is a din derais. I guess Taisus understood it differently. Not that it's derais. So the Mishnah says that the Tanoi made a series of takonis mifnei tikkun ha'olam. One of the takonis mifnei tikkun ha'olam, Shalayah, but the day of Machlokes says that the kohen gets the first aliyah. So the Gemara says, what? This is mifnei tikkun ha'olam. No, it's deraisa. It doesn't mean that it's deraisa versus the rabbanan. It means it's not mitnei tikkun olam. It's an asmachta based on the kiddush that has nothing to do with tikkun olam. That was how Taisus understood the Gemara's kasha. Not that deraisa versus the rabbanan. How can the Mishnah say it's only takana the rabbanan if it's learned out from a pasuk? No, the pasuk they knew was only an asmachta. What they meant to ask, it has nothing to do with tikkun olam. To be mechabit kohanim is a separate mitzvah. Why is it there in the middle of Gittin where you have all the series of mishnayos? And 10 Mishnayos, one after the other, about various takonis in the Tikkun Olam. So that's what Gemara says, that the kohen cannot forgo the schus of the first aliyah, that's the Tikkun Olam. That he's entitled to the first aliyah, that's takonah derabbanan, according to Taisus. That's the kiddush, the takonah derabbanan. Now he shouldn't be meichel on his kovod, that's the Tikkun Olam. Anyway, that's what Taisus writes. Taisus in Chulin around Daf Peiches Amin Aleph on the bottom. Oh, Pei Zayin Amin Aleph. The third Tmimah does call it. Tosfos in Chulin Pei Zayin and Menala. Tosfos writes that it's only the Rabbanan. Then he quotes the Zeran and Megillah. Turns me because the Zeran and Megillah, where the Ran says that the Iker Pshuta Shal Mikra Vikidash, it really goes on Kain Gadol. It's only the Rabbanan that it goes on a Kain Hedyot. That's what no one understands. How did he get that? We're talking about Kain Hedyot now. Kain Gadol begins in Pasuk Yud. And this is the Pasuk Ches. The beginning of Parsha Sem is all about Kohanim Hedyot. So how does the Ran make such a statement that the Iker Pshuta Shal Mikra goes on a Kain Gadol? But we also darshan in a Kain Hedyot as well. What do you mean? Pasuk is not talking about Kain Gadol. Very strange Ran. The Mefarshim on the side of the Ran, printed on the side of the page. Yes, they can. They don't understand it. In the end of today's said, we have all the dinim of the Moados. We have dinim in between also. And it says twice the same pasuk. Elam yad Hashem shetikru osam mikroi kodesh. It says the pasuk base, and it says the pasuk dalet. Elam yad Hashem mikroi kodesh shetikru osam mayadam twice. And the Torah's Kohanim quotes the Drasha Satanai. Why it's written osam chaser vav aleph tav mem instead of aleph vav tav mem? That yidarshin atem. The Gemara in Rosh Hashanah says atem afilu mizidim. Even if the Bezdin declares kiddush achodesh, not in accordance with the rules and regulations. There are no witnesses. The witnesses say fakeret, and the Bezna has a political reason why they want to make Rish Chodesh. Whatever, the CD account is due today. They don't want to wait till tomorrow. They say Mekudesh HaChodesh, and they want to get their money out of the bank. Even if it's for a personal, private reason. It does make a difference. Atam Afilim is eaten. If they declare it as Rish Chodesh, within certain limitations, they can't declare that the month only has 10 days and the next month is going to start on the 11th day. A month in the Hebrew calendar can either have 29 days or 30 days. So they can declare Rish Chodesh on the 30th and the 31st, even if it doesn't really correspond to the Melad Halvon. Or they think someone against the witnesses, they can ignore what the witnesses say. So Rashi has the comment from the Torah's Kanam that it says it twice. It says it Pasuk Beis and Pasuk Dalet. So Rashi quotes, "Lemaila medaba beiber Hashan v'kam medaba bekiddush achodesh." This halacha vatem, afilu mutim, applies equally both to kiddush achodesh and to iber Hashan. That's the Rashi that the Minchas Chinuch quotes. The Rashi, the Minchas Chinuch on Parshas Bo quotes this Rashi because it's a tzlach. The Nevi Yehuda wrote a sefer tzlach. So the tzlach on the end of brachas, the tzlach has a shtikel Torah. And he says, Achidish, that the din of Atem, Afilum Mezidim, that the Fezin declares Rish Chodesh, it's Chal, even in error, only applies to Kiddush HaChodesh, does not apply to Ibra Hashem. As the Gemara in the first parak in Sanhedrin, which he claims, says that. So the Mechas Chinuch says, how can it be? So Rashi Achumish says not so. Rashi quotes from the Torah's Kohanim, that the din applies equally to Kiddush HaChodesh and to Ibra Hashem. I the Gemara in Sanhedrin, that the Tzlach quoted, you have to interpret the Gemara somehow differently. It can't be that the Gemara contradicts the Torah's Kohanim. Then you have all of the dinim of the Yamim Tayyim recorded in today's Seder in Parshas Emor. You have the Parshas Emor that appears three times in Emor and in Pinchas and in Re'eh. In Emor you have the Kedushas Hayom Benegeh to the Yisim Aloche. In Pinchas you have the Kedushas Hayom Benegeh to the Chiyuvei Hamusafim, Kavanas Hamusafim. In Re'eh, you have the mitzvahs pratiyos. You have the specific mitzvahs, the special mitzvahs of Pesach and special for Shavuos. Nothing. What do you have Shavuos? Krepot. Sukkos, you have special mitzvahs. Aliyah LeRegel, you have all the mitzvahs pratiyos there. You have some of them in today's Seder also. But the basic theme in Parshas Emor is about the Isurei Melachim. Rosh Hashanah, today's Seder is described as Zichron Trua. The Gemara Rosh Hashanah suggests, why should it be called Zichron Trua? It's a Yom Trua. What kind of a Zichron Trua? Zichron Trua sounds like you talk about Kiya Shefer. Not only do you talk about Shefer, it's Lo Shefer. So one pshat the Gemara gives is that you have to say the Brach of Shefer's. You have to recite the Brach of Shefer's. That's called Zichron Trua. You speak about Kiya Shefer in the davening. Yeah, is that a drasha gemura? That's a question. Rashi and Chumash seems to hold that that's a din deraisa, that you have to recite Malchus, Zechanu, Shevus, and Rosh Hashanah, a din deraisa. The Ramban and Parshas Emor disagrees with the Rashi. He holds that Malchus Ein HaShem is only the Rabbanim. That's not a Chiyuv Derais. So what does it mean? Zichron Trua? Zichron Trua sounds like you talk about Shofar. So the Gemara has a Pshat. The Gemara says when Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos and you're not allowed to blow Shofar, then you talk about Kiyuv Shofar. And Malala Kasav Kili he blew Shofar. Whenever there's a mitzvah that you can't perform, so if you talk about it, so it's considered as if you did the best you could under the circumstances, so it's considered as if you fulfilled the mitzvah. So the Gemara says, but that's only a din de rabbanon. That's only exerish and the averenu dalanamis b'shusaram, the prohibition to blow shofar and rashanish chalis b'shamis. So the Gemara says, right, that's only exer de rabbanon. It was like with the pasuk zichron trua. So is that what it means or not? So some achrayim write, Yosef Engel there in Rosh Hashanah has a long essay about this, and the Gilyoni Hashad. Gilyoni Hashad wasn't intended as essays. These were just marginal notes on his Gemara. He has a long essay there. He quotes a few achrayim who say that this takana was made by Moshe Rabbeinu, that you're not allowed to blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah Shechaliyus B'Shabbos. It was instituted by Moshe Rabbeinu, and it's recorded in the Chumash already. That's why it says Zichron Trua. Not everything that's in the Chumash is a description of a din d'oraisa. You have dinim d'rabbanan also written in the Chumash. They're only d'rabbanan. The dinim d'rabbanan that are written in the Chumash are only d'rabbanan. They're not d'oraisa. You have Kriyas HaTorah, Sheni V'Chamishi in Shabbos is only mid'rabbanan, and the Chachamim and the Gemara and Bavakam to point out that it's alluded to in the Chumash. Ve'elcha Shlosh Yisyamim B'lo Mayim, and so on. So it's alluded to. It's not mentioned exclusively. So here also, it's alluded to that the takana Moshe Rabbeinu, not the blow shofar when Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos.
Did he derive his word from that?
No. He instituted Gzeira the Rabbanon. And the Rabbanon Shlom told him, dictated the Chumash to Moshe Rabbeinu in such a way that there's a remiss for his takana the Rabbanon. That's an asmachta, that's a different thing. The Ritva talks about asmachta, that when the Chachamim read a pasuk and they see an asmachta, so that's more chashuv than stam takana de rabbanon that doesn't have an asmachta.
Asmachta is...
No.
It
doesn't say it's deraisa. No, an asmachta de rabbanon is de rabbanon. But it's alluded to. The Rabbanon Shel Olam wrote the Chumash, he dictated the Chumash in such a way. I don't think so. Take a look in the Ritva. He says you shouldn't say that it's only a asmachta is only a mnemonic device. He holds that that's not proper. He says an asmachta means that the Rabbanu Shalom, this is really the intention of the author. When the Rabbanu Shalom dictated the Chumash to Moshe Rabbeinu, that's what he really meant. But here it's not an asmachta. No, but he meant that it should be a din de rabbanon. He didn't want that it should be a din de reis. Asmachtas are the rabbanon. Asmachtas are not the reis. It is still only the rabbanon. But here it's not that. Here this was instituted by Moshe Rabbeinu Lechud. And the Rabbanu Shalom dictated, he didn't derive it from the Mashmaos HaPasuk. The Rabbanu Shalom dictated the Chumash in such a way that it should record this Takana de Rabban. That's the question whether historically this is accurate or not. The Baal HaTanya writes in one place that it's a double Pashut. We all know that the Gzeira, not the Blosh Shofar and Rosh Hashanah Shechaliyus B'Shabbos, but two during the period of the second Beis HaMikdash. It gives you a whole explanation on Pi Kabbalah why it was never instituted earlier. Why it was only necessary to have these areas during the period of the Bayesheni. But that's what I think the Mabit writes like that, if I'm not mistaken. The Mabit writes in the Beis Elokim that this was a Gzeira Keduma that was already in existence in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu. Yes, yeah. The Mabit is the, it starts off, this whole story begins with a Smag. The Smag writes in one place that the Gemara has a din, you're not permitted to do Hazoas Paraduma, Eifer Pori, not allowed to do Hazoah on Shabbos. The Gemara says Shemi Yavrenu. The Gemara says also Shemi Yavrenu Dalaramis, so because the Misakin Mana. So the Smag writes that was already instituted in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu. So if that was instituted in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, so you can already go right there and say that this is also instituted in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu. The Pashtus is, of course, like the Baal HaTanya, that it's not so. Simple reading of the Gemara, this was all instituted during the period of Baal Shem. Whether his reason of Pikabola is necessarily the reason or not, that's a different question. He gives the whole time of Pikabola why in Bais Rishon there was never need for such a gzera. Only in Bais Sheni, because there was no Memshala. There was no Jewish government in Eretz Yisrael. That's why all the Shmiras and Mitzvahs was weaker. Bais Rishon, when you had these Jewish kings, Rabbi Avodah Zarah, these wonderful Jewish kings who were raiding all the Nevi'im, killing out all the Nevi'im, but it says there was a Jewish government. So then those who were observant, everything was on a higher madrega, there was no need for gzeiras for them. But by Sheni, there wasn't a Jewish government, so everything was weaker. You have to understand what he means. In Shulchan Aruch there's a meaning that you're not mekabel two versions of the minhag, that you don't say Kiddush on Leil Shavuos before Tzeis HaKochavim. Others have the minhag that you don't have Maariv before Tzeis HaKochavim, and others have the minhag you just don't say Kiddush at home before Tzeis HaKochavim. So in Shulchan Aruch they say the reason why is because it says Tmimos. Sheva Shabbos is Tmimos Tiyem. What does that mean, Tmimos? What does that mean, Tmimos? So what's usually assumed is that the Trumas Hadesh, who the Masas Binyamin, the Achrenim came up with this idea, hold that Tmimas goes on the whole unit of 49 days. When you have 49 full days, Tmimas, Sheva Shabbos is Tmimas, then after the 49 full units, the 7 full weeks, then Shavuos begin. How can you be Moisim Mechoel Ala Kodesh if you don't yet have your Tmimas? That's how they usually assume. If I'm not mistaken, I think in the Steichem, and he quotes in the name of Rav Chaim Berlin. Chaim Berlin was the oldest son of the Netziv. Rav Meir Bar Ilan was the younger son from the second wife. Chaim Berlin was the oldest son. Rav Meir Bar Ilan was the brother of Rav Chaim Berlin. Believe it or not. Rav Meir Bar Ilan founded the Tion. He was one of the big leaders in the Mizrahi. Rav Chaim Berlin was not a member of the Mizrahi. So Rav Chaim Berlin is quoted as having said that during the Sfira you should never be Mekabel Shabbos early. Not only be Mekabel Shavuos early, he said that Tmimos is not that you need the full 49 days and after the full 49 days are up, then Shavuos begins. No. The Gemara says Tmimos goes on each and every individual day of the Sfira. Every day should be Tmimos. So if you're going to be Mekabel Kedushas Shabbos, let's say tomorrow afternoon, you want to daven at the early minyan during Sfira. So he claims, most do not have that practice, but he claims that if you're going to be Mekabel Shabbos early during the middle of the Sfira, that's also a violation of Tmimus, because that day, today is 26, and tomorrow is going to be 27, so if I'm going to be Mekabel Shabbos early, the 27th day is going to be missing. It'll be missing the last half hour. He said that's what the Masas Binyamin meant to say. Not just you shouldn't be Mekabel Shavuos early, you shouldn't be Mekabel Shabbos early in the middle of Yimei Sfira. But there's a famous comment from the Netziv in his Herchev Dover, in the footnotes on the bottom of his commentary on Chumash, which Rav Shlomo Levilna also has in his safe in the Binyan Shlomo. They suggest that maybe the reason why the minig was not to be Mekabel Shavuos early has nothing to do with Tmimos, because in the Gemara they don't darshan anything about Tmimos. They suggest maybe because the Pasuk says the expression Be'etzem Ayom Azeh. And then you have the Yom Tov of Shavuos. The Krosim Pasuk Chafala, Perik Chav Gimel Pasuk Chafala, Krosim Be'etzem Ayom Azeh, Mikra Kodesh Yi Alachem. So the expression Be'etzem Ayom Azeh, the Gemara in Sukkah, Daf Chav Ches, in a different context, takes it to mean, as opposed to Tosefes. Etzem Ayom Azeh means the day itself. So that's what the Pasuk says. The Krosim Be'etzem Ayom Azeh, Mikra Kodesh means reciting of Kiddush. The Kiddush on Shavuos should be recited Be'etzem Ayom Azeh. After Tzeis HaKochav, you shouldn't say Kiddush Mevod Yom. So they say it's a separate din. Agzeres HaKos, nothing to do with Tmimos, nothing to do with being Kabbalah Shabbos early in the middle. A special pasuk that says that the Kiddush should not be recited early on Shavuos. Why? I don't know. That's what they say. They want to make it that it's a real pasuk, a real din deraisa. The Etzem Hayom Hazeh. Pasuk says later also, Pasuk Lamed, if you do Malach on Yom Kippur, you chayv koreis only be'etzem hayoyim azeh. Pasuk Malach be'etzem azeh, v'havadati asanev shim b'kerev amos. So the Gemara says, one who violates the Yisra Malach during the Zman of Tosefes, Yom Kippur is not chayv koreis. Only if you do Malach on Yom Kippur proper. So just like there, the Gemara darshan be'etzem hayoyim azeh is only koreis on Yitzum Shal Yom, so to all the year. It says the Kiddush should only be on Shavuos proper. Okay, I mentioned the other day that I won't be here on Sunday, but on Monday we'll continue, or we'll do Chazara. We'll start Chazara on Monday. Where did we leave off from Chazara? We got it. What's the last thing we learned? The Mishnah of Lamed Ches? Okay. We'll start from Lamed Ches. Shira Monday is early?